Good morning. Today is a good day. Today is a good day. Yesterday was a good day. We started out with a great breakfast, thanks to Pat and her team. And today's going to be another full and exciting day. If you're not part of this congregation, we want you to be a part so you can enjoy God's blessings as we enjoy. We're just a simple group of people, but we're following Jesus, who's perfect, and we want to honor him and glorify him, and we want to grow and be like him. So if you're visiting with us, we want you to come back whenever you can, and whatever we can do to help you in your spiritual walk, we're here for you, okay? Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. A lot of times I'll put the whole scriptures up on the PowerPoint, but sometimes I think, especially when it's a longer reading, I'd like for us to just read from our Bibles. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And the reason Jesus said that is because when someone was cured of some skin ailment, disorder, before they would be liberated to go back into the community, they had to go to the priest and be examined. And so they're leprous, and he just says, go show. He's obviously he's going to cure them, heal them on the way, but they're not yet. But in faith, then they go. And so the Bible says, and as they went, they were cleansed. So before they were cleansed, they believed in Jesus' word. They headed toward the priest to be examined, even though they were looking at themselves and say, hey, you know, but they believed in Jesus. They trusted him. And that's what faith is. It's believing. It's trusting God and his word, okay? Verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Obviously, the other nine are not Samaritans. They're from Israel, they're Israelites, they're pure Israelites. But Jesus is showing this to us, that here's a man that didn't have a great religious pedigree, but he recognized God working in his life. And so he comes back when he sees what Jesus did for him. He's grateful, and he comes back at Jesus' feet to honor him. Verse 17, then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Verse 19. And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And so that's the theme throughout all the Bible, is that we're made right with God because of his grace, but through faith. It's trusting in God. And we'll talk a little bit more about this toward the end of our message this morning. But when I first went to Brazil 50 years ago as an exchange student, we had limited resources to be able to find out about things. We didn't have internet. Just basically you went to the World Book Encyclopedia to find out what's Brazil like. And besides the World Book, I did have an acquaintance. She was a Brazilian exchange student, had come to my city. And I tried to ask her questions, but she couldn't speak English very well, and I certainly couldn't speak Portuguese, and so I didn't learn a whole lot. So I went to Brazil and didn't know much. I just knew I was going to Brazil, and I'd heard some things and saw some things in the World Book and whatnot. So when I got there, I started asking around about things and noticing that they had a lot of holidays. Seemed like every other day was a holiday. Today they don't have quite as many holidays. They have 12 official federal holidays and about 50 state and local holidays. And you know, people just know it's a holiday. They usually don't even know what it's about or what it's for or what the name of it is. They just, "Oh, tomorrow's a holiday." I say, "Well, what it's about?" "I don't know. It's a holiday, you know." So, and the real strange one when I talked about, they told me about what they say, carnaval is carnival, but it's I said, what holiday is that? Oh, it's 4 days long, yeah? Well, what are you celebrating? What are you commemorating? Nothing. I was like, "That what? You have a holiday and you're not commemorating anything?" No. Well, what do you do for this holiday? What do you do? Oh, you just jump up and down with music for 4 days. It's like, just jump up and down? Yeah, that's what you do. So it seemed awful strange to me. But, you know, if you ask a lot of the young people today, maybe not just young people, maybe some of the older people, about Thanksgiving, you know, it's coming up Thursday, we're all excited, and you ask people what it's about, your average student probably today would just say, well, I guess it's about family, food, and football, right? Maybe some Black Friday shopping, and now it's practically the whole month. It used to be just the day after Thanksgiving. Now it's probably all of November and into December, you know, all this now. But that's pretty much what Thanksgiving is for most people. And that's unfortunate. And I hope Thursday, if you're having your family in, you're going to have a nice meal, you'll really take some time to pause and thank God for some just special blessings, all of his care. There's so many blessings. We could just, you know, you could, the song we sang, Count Your Many Blessings. There's so many, you can't even count them all. And so hopefully we'll have a better understanding and take advantage. For a Christian, every day is Thanksgiving. We should be thanking God every day. But since people are slowing down and have some family time together, maybe you can go around the room in your house at the table and ask each one what they're thankful for. I would typically do this in our Bible classes with the junior high and high school. Before we start the class, we usually have a prayer, and I ask each one has to say something that they're thankful for. And they just kind of get stumped. For my food or my family or my dog, just different things. But, you know, we should be more sensitive and aware of God's blessings and God's working in our lives. And so hopefully Thursday will be a great day for all of you. The first Thanksgiving that we call the first Thanksgiving actually was in 1621. The pilgrims had come over in 1620. They left September 6th in 1620 from Europe. Actually, you know, they left for religious freedom, but they'd already gone on to Holland. They escaped England, persecution there, went to Holland, but they were struggling because their kids weren't maintaining their British culture. They were becoming more Dutch, and worse than that is that they were kind of going off into the world and following Dutch customs. So the economy was terrible there, and so they decided to come to America. And they got some financing from some trading companies, and they were able to come, 102 of them. Actually, there were two ships, but the passenger ship itself kept springing leaks, and so they had to leave it in the port, and they all came over on the Mayflower, which was the more of the cargo ship. But after a year, then they had their first harvest there, and they had relationships at the time. Later on, the relationships with the Indians go sour, but at that time they had good relationships. And there was even an Indian there that helped them out a lot. He was actually captured some 7 years ago by some trading people, merchants, and he was taken back to Spain, and then he ended up in England. He learned to speak English. And so when the pilgrims got there, they soon afterwards met an Indian who could speak English, and they had a lot of good relationships with that. But Thanksgiving just didn't start in 1621. Okay, actually, as a national holiday, it became in 1863. Abraham Lincoln declared it a national holiday. It had been celebrated in each state, community at a different time, a different date, but Abraham Lincoln made it the fourth Thursday of November, beginning in 1863. But Christians, we thank God all the time. The reason we're here today is an expression of thanks to God, of our admiration, of our love, and gratitude. And so Thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks, goes back to the beginning of creation. Remember Cain and Abel? We don't know all the exact particulars of their lives and their instructions from God, but God had given them instructions, what he expected from them and how they were to honor him. And obviously Cain didn't obey that, and it got him in trouble and let sin enter his heart and his life and was very destructive. But we see all throughout the biblical history that those who recognize God's greatness, who he is and what he does, will worship him. And it's an expression of thanks and gratitude. Well, I'm thankful for the Highland Heights Church for a lot of reasons, and I'll just share a couple here. First of all, for your love and patience. I feel your love, and I know you have to be patient to love me. So, if you're visiting with us, the longer you're here, the more precious this family becomes. And it's just so special. And I want to thank you for that. Also want to thank you for your encouragement. You know, doesn't matter how long you've been in Christ, everybody needs encouragement. And you're so good at that. Just so good. And I appreciate it so much. And your generosity. You've supported me and my family for years, and you've blessed us and so kind and good to us, and we just thank you so much. Not only us personally, but our ministry and mission work in Brazil, you know, even though we left there 9 years ago, we've been able to continue having relationships and making trips back to Brazil, and so you've supported us in that and our work with the children's home and supported and helped with that. So I just want to thank you. Thank you for that. This past trip that I made in November, here is a picture of, I'm with some of the workers and director of the children's home there in Belo Horizonte, and just wonderful, great people. Kids, they're just beautiful children. And here I had a meeting with 11 church leaders from 11 different congregations in the city, and we spent the afternoon in worship and prayer and just shared the word with them. Also, I preached at the downtown congregation there. They're going well, but you notice everybody has on a mask, and they're still struggling a lot down there with COVID. The bad thing is COVID, obviously, but the good thing is because of COVID, new technology has been not invented, but being taken care of, use, tomando vantagem, they're taking advantage of new technology. So I've been able to have teach youth groups, with meetings with elders, church leaders, home Bible study groups. This coming December 4th, I'll be preaching for a citywide Zoom meeting, and all the congregations will be involved. It'll be on a Saturday night, and I'll be speaking on the importance of unity in the churches. And then on December 11th, I'll have a Zoom meeting all over Brazil with all the elders from all the congregations in Brazil. So it's just a blessing, and I appreciate all your support. Okay, I want to share with you a few passages about the necessity of our giving thanks to God. Now, there's tons and tons of passages, and obviously we wouldn't have time to read all that. And as I mentioned before, our dedication to God is a result of our gratitude. It's not to be saved, it's because He has saved us. And out of that gratitude, but I just want to share these passages so it really stamps how important this really is. Psalm 30 says, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you, His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. I will praise the name of God with song and shall magnify Him with thanksgiving. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Psalm 100, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. I will give thanks to You, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all Your wonderful deeds. I will give to the Lord the thanks due His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." It's a command of God for us to be thankful. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, just as my word to this congregation isn't really adequate to be really express the thanks that I want to express, our thanks to God is subpar. The best we can do, it's not, just words are not enough. Our gratitude is to be expressed by our walking as Jesus walked, fearing God and keeping his commandments. It's being a living sacrifice, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 and 12, verses 1 and 2. So how can I be thankful when so many things have gone wrong for me? You know, people have had some struggles. They've lost loved ones because of COVID or just lost loved ones. People have had struggles in their marriages, health problems, financial problems, relationship problems, you know, governmental problems. There's just a lot going on. And so somebody could say, well, how can I be thankful? Because look at all these terrible things that have happened. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But notice he said, give thanks in all circumstances and not for all circumstances. There's a big difference. You know, if you wrecked your car, you're not going to thank God, well, thank you, Lord, I wrecked my car. But in that situation, I'm going to thank him that he protected me. I didn't get hurt any worse, or I had insurance, or whatever it is. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, says that all things work together for good for those who love God. And the idea is not that if you love God, there won't be anything bad happen to you, but when things bad, you'll find the good in those things. We know that trials will make us stronger. They'll make us rely on God more. They'll help us to see how fragile life really is. And there's so many things that we can learn and grow from our difficulties and our problems. We see that when I go through a problem, then later on God can use me to help somebody else that's going through that same problem. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, if you're struggling just with praying, there's good news. God's Holy Spirit will help you in your prayers. And in verses 37 and before and after that, he talks about there's nothing that can separate us from God, nor life, nor death, nor angels, or principalities, or anything can separate you from the love of God. And that's good news, and there's good things. We thank God in all circumstances. Now, we know Psalm 23. It's probably one of the psalms we know best. But did you ever stop and think when the psalmist is writing, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So just because I'm serving God doesn't mean I won't have enemies, doesn't mean I won't have situations in my life where I'm facing death, but that's okay. I can give thanks to God in all of that because I know he's with me and he'll take care of me and he'll bless me. Our national holiday Thanksgiving that we celebrate every fourth Thursday in November has its beginnings with the pilgrims celebrating their first harvest of crops after their arrival in the New World. So we think, oh, you know, it's so beautiful and so nice, and they had a lot to be thankful for. Now they're in America, and everything's just fine. But did you know that of those 102 people that came on the ship, almost half of those people died during that first harsh winter? Almost half. Of the 20-some ladies, only five resisted the harsh winter, and children died, and they all almost died. What great struggles they had, and still they're holding a three-day feast of thanksgiving to God. And so we can thank God in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances we can thank God. I want to call your attention to this article that Keith wrote in this week's bulletin. If you've not read it, you need to go back and read this article. Every week, obviously, but this one pertains to what we're trying to say here. And in the end, he talks about all the spiritual blessings here that God has given us, all the things to be thankful for, even when things are going tough for us. But in the end, he says, fix your eyes, minds, and hearts on this joy that is yours through Jesus, and it will enable you to live in a constant state of thanksgiving. I can't think of probably much anything worse than a spoiled child. You know, anytime you see a spoiled child, it's just terrible. But really, the parents are at fault for spoiling that child, giving them everything they want, not disciplining them, not, you know, teaching them that you need to teach them that they're not the center of the universe and that God is. And it takes a lot of teaching because we're naturally selfish. And we're not thankful when we think that everything we have, we deserve. And we're not thankful when we're looking to things we don't have rather than the things that we do have. And so God wants us to be thankful. He wants to bless us, and he wants us to have a thankful heart. Back to Luke 17, verses 11 through 9, the Samaritan that was healed along with the other nine, and when he, the Bible says when he saw that he was healed, he went back to Jesus to thank him. And when we really see how blessed we are, we'll serve God, we'll worship God, we'll be thankful to God for all things. Before we sing our song of encouragement, I'd like for us to pray. Would you stand as we pray, please? Dear Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and for blessing us. Thank you, Father, for giving us hope even through the toughest times. Thank you, Father, for strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Father, we thank you that you're always with us and promise never to leave us. Thank you, Father, for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom and life. And Father, we pray that you forgive us, for we don't thank you enough for who you are and for all that you do and for all that you've given. Father, help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you. We pray that you renew our spirits and fill us with your peace and joy. Father, we love you, and certainly we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.